to have a productive work week is the ministry session we're about to hear from Mrs. Joy Keeley. Mrs. Keeley serves as a secretary in the areas of outreach and missions at Lancaster Baptist Church. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chapel and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
This event for you, and we're excited about being able to be a blessing to you. First, I'll just tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Joy Keeley, as you probably can tell from the information, but my husband is on the college staff. He's one of the instructors at the college. We've lived here since the Lord led us here in 2003. I am Brother Furso's secretary. I've worked in the church office since I've been here in 2003, but I think 3 years ago, Pastor asked me if I would be Brother Furso's secretary. So I work for Brother Furso, who's the outreach pastor and missions director at the church. I work for him. I have four daughters, and none of them are married yet, but we're working on that. I have a 23-year-old daughter who graduated from West Coast last year. She's a teacher. She teaches in Hawaii. She teaches fourth grade. And then I have a daughter that's going to be a senior at West Coast this year. And she's 21, and I have a daughter that is 19 at West Coast, and then I have a senior in high school this year. So, and she's my baby, but she doesn't like me to call her that. But I'm really excited that the Lord blessed me with four children and a wonderful husband, and I'm so glad that he has honored me to serve him. And I'm so glad that you guys are here today. And I want to open with a word of prayer, and then I just want to be a blessing to you guys. And I promise I won't take the whole hour. And then if you have any questions, you can ask me, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for today. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be a blessing to people and to serve you. Lord, I pray that you'd be with me as I share what you've given me. Lord, I pray that it might be an encouragement and a blessing to those in this room. I pray that I might give them tools that they can use to take back and be a blessing to their pastor also. In your son's name, amen. Now, I'm just a real simple person, so when they give me They give us our topics to speak on every year, and then they want like the outlines like 7 months ago. So I am like, oh wow. So a lot of times when I do a lesson, I think it's just easier if you have an outline, and I usually always try to alliterate an important word in the outline. And you have to forgive me because I'm getting older and I have to wear my glasses to read. So sorry, but I can't see you if I put my glasses on, but I can see my notes, so I think that's more important. So in Ecclesiastes 9, chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might." That's really funny because whenever I get something to do, I'm really like tenacious about it. Sometimes I get carried away. My husband always says, "You work too much, you do too much," you know. And then when I come home, if I don't be still, he gets real frustrated at me. But it's like I can't be still. I'm not really hyper like Brother Jeremy Whitman is, who's pastor's assistant. Otherwise, I'd be about that big like he is. But I always want to do everything, and I want to do it the best. And if I can't do it the best, it's kind of frustrating. But I think I get that from God's word. And so many times as we're trying to do ministry and do different things, you sometimes feel like, you have too much to accomplish. Every day, my mom died 4 or 5 years ago. And so I call my dad every night and he's like, "How was your day?" And I'm like, "Busy." That's like my favorite word to my dad. And I realize that, well, that's a blessing to be busy. But sometimes I feel like I'm never going to accomplish anything, especially in a church office on Monday morning. Mondays are just like, oh my goodness, you feel like somebody ran over you with a Mack truck at the end of the day. Do you ever feel like you're never going to get caught up with everything, that you'll never get on top of all your tasks, and that there's always more than you can possibly do in 1 week? Do you ever feel like that? I do, especially sometimes being a mom, and I know that there's men in here, but being a mom and a wife, you're trying, and I'm a people pleaser, so I want to please everyone. I want to please my husband. I want to please Pastor. I want to please Brother Furso, and I want to please my children. But sometimes that can become difficult to do, but the Lord can always give us balance in our life. One of the keys to being productive and getting things done with efficiency and excellence is to know how to properly respond to the rivers, and I said rivers, not creeks, not little trickles, of responsibilities and tasks that flow your way each day. The goal of this session is to help you become more productive and to use your skills to the best of your ability. So I think if I click this will be the right next one. There's a blank. It kind of ran in. I saw in the outline, it says, we must become willing to become a master of productivity. I think it's right under the intro line on your notes. We must be willing to become a master of productivity. One of these quotes that I found while I was studying for this lesson, it says, flaws in one's character are not always easy to correct, but performance issues can usually be resolved. You know, if someone has a character flaw, it's kind of hard to change, but maybe they have really good character, but they're not always the most efficient person, but you can work with them and you can work on your skills and hone your skills. God's given us the ability to do that. Another quote that I have is, the average person who develops the habit of seeing or setting clear priorities, these are blanks in your notes, getting important things done quickly will run circles around a genius who talks a lot and makes wonderful plans, but doesn't get anything done. Has anybody ever worked with someone who's like all talk, but they never produce? To me, that's really frustrating. Some people are really good. A couple years ago, I was working with a gentleman, and he had the most beautiful plan laid out. Because if you know Pastor and you know our staff, he sets a vision, and then we come up with a plan, and then we work the plan. And you can have the most beautiful plan on your paper, but if you can't work your plan, then you're not really being very productive. And some people look good because they come with all this plan. You know, they have a great plan, but that doesn't always equal productivity. Activity is also something that does not necessarily translate into productivity, and not all productivity translates into results. Does that make sense? So today we're going to take the word productivity, and I'm going to alliterate the word. Is that the right? I use an acronym. That's the word I'm looking for. And give you a word for each letter in the word productivity. And I hope this will be a blessing to you. These are some things that I've taken in my life and I've applied. And one other thing that I want to share with you too is a book that I read that helped me a lot when I first came to work here. Pastor gave me the book to read. And it really helped me a lot. But the first letter of the word productivity is preparation or plan. Without a plan, you can't do anything. You know, your pastor could set you a vision, or you could say, I want to go on vacation. You can take this and apply this to your personal life. I want to go on vacation. This year, my husband and I were married 25 years, so we decided that we wanted to do something special. Well, I couldn't just go to my anniversary date and not have a plan. So we talked about it. We talked about what we wanted to do. And then we set out a plan and we did that. You can take this to your personal life, or you can take it in your church life. If your pastor sets a vision or a plan and he says, I want to have a big day, well, you can't just say, okay, that big day is going to happen. What you need to do is plan that. A lot of times what you can do is you can plan yearly, then you can plan quarterly. But this session is about weekly and then every day, how to have a productive week. I'm going to take a survey here. How many of you are morning people? I hate you. I'm just kidding. How many of you are not morning people? Praise the Lord. You guys are the majority today. I am so not a morning person. So what you need to do is you need to realize whether you're a morning person, an afternoon person. Brother Schmidt teaches a time management session, and he's a great teacher on time management. But one thing that he really, I used to feel guilty because I wasn't a morning person. Before I worked at a church, my husband didn't surrender to be in the ministry until he was 30. I never worked at a church. I was a loan officer at a bank. And so once a week, we would have meetings with all of the loan officers, and we would talk about every commercial loan that was presented, and then everybody votes on it. But a lot of times it was with a majority of men. And I'm not a morning person, you know, so I tried drinking coffee. I tried drinking everything. You know, that was before they had those, like, Boost, you know, those little powerful things that you can drink, like a shot of caffeine. But I'm just not a morning person. And so I became addicted to Mountain Dew, which does have caffeine, and I can drink that stuff. But one of the things that I had to realize early on, and Brother Schmidt helped me to realize or to understand that I wasn't horrible because I wasn't a morning person either, was that everyone has a productive time where they can get a lot done. And my productive time is and I can really produce anything from 2 o'clock in the afternoon on. I could work till 8 o'clock at night all the time, which is bad being a mother. But if you ask me to really think and focus, if you came to me and said, give me a plan at 8 o'clock in the morning and I need it by 9, you're in trouble, because you would have been better to ask me the night before. But everybody needs to realize what their plan is and work with your plan. If I know that I'm going to have a busy day and I need to plan my week, like Mondays are the busiest day on our church staff. What I have to do for myself, and you need to realize and use your traits that God has given you, is I have to, on Friday night before I leave, I print out a calendar for the whole next week, and I go ahead and I look at it. What is on the calendar? Because I work for a pastor. A lot of times a pastor has a meeting on Sunday, or maybe has a soul winning appointment on Saturday, and they expect you to remind them of their meeting. So I print out the whole week, and I say, okay, what do I need to do, or what do I need to do to help my team leader be prepared for that week? So I print out my week. And if I see anything that I have to have done on Monday morning, I do it on Friday. Does that make sense? So for me, that's what I do. One of the quotes that I ran across was that people that do not plan allow things to happen to them, while those that plan make things happen. And success is 80% preparation. Did you hear me? Success is 80% preparation. Okay, so some people think they can have success, but they don't want to do anything to get there. If you look at most successful people, they plan. They spend a lot of preparation. This conference took a lot of preparation, and it wasn't done by any one person. I mean, if you could see the flow chart and the planning that went into this event, I think there was like 25 big teams, and then under each of the 25 teams, there was 10 other smaller teams under those teams. And it takes lots of planning. So success is 80% preparation. Okay? So I just want to challenge you. If you're a morning person and you can get here, like my husband is a morning person, I just totally despise him. I wish I had that trait. I really did. And Mrs. Rasmussen made me feel good 2 weeks ago. I was talking to her, and we were talking about having our morning devotions, and I was telling her how I do mine. And I've heard her say so many times that she just gets up and she reads her Bible right away. And I said, I don't understand how you do that. One, I must take a shower before I can even open my eyes to read my Bible. How do you get up, just like wipe your face off and read your Bible? I just, you know. And she's like, well, I'm a morning person, I just do that. And I'm like, oh, I just, you know, for me, I can't do that. I have to at least have a shower. And she's so funny, she's so sweet. She said, you know, I thought that you could change someone's characteristic like that. And she said, I've come to realize that I think God created people differently. She said, because my husband and my children, I've tried for years to make them morning people, and I can't. She said, my husband is a right-on-time person, and all her children are too. And yet she's such a morning person. My husband's a morning person. He comes in at 6 o'clock or 6:30 every day to work. And he teaches in the college. When he teaches, he's here at 6 or 6:30 every day. And he plans out and does everything before he ever starts classes. I can't even think. If he wants to talk to me in the morning, I'm like, please don't talk to me. You know, but different people are different, so you need to learn to adjust to that. But you also need to be able to plan. He can come in the morning and plan everything and plan his whole day out. But I need to do it the night before. You need to realize what your God-given trait is and use that to the best of your ability. We need to move on to the letter R. R stands for reduction. You need to control your time and use it wisely. One of the things that I am constantly adjusting is everybody as secretaries, their job is different, but my phone rings all the time. And I don't know, I think they know that I'll take any phone call, and seems like I get the weirdest phone calls, but my phone rings all the time. Sometimes I feel guilty if I can't answer the phone, but sometimes I just have to let it go to voicemail. You need to reduce things in your time. It could be your phone. Some people are so obsessive compulsive about their email that every time the little buzzer dings, they have to look at their email. You know, you just need to check your email every day. If someone really needs something, they're going to call you. I don't use email. If I want somebody, I don't want to waste my time sending an email. I want to call them. I want to pick up the phone. So you can do that. Don't sit there and read your emails all the time. Another thing that you can do to reduce things is if somebody wants to give you something and you're not going to own it, and that we're really big on owning things, don't take something and say you're going to help somebody if you're not going to own it and do it. That kind of will waste your time and it'll waste their time. And because you said you would do it, but you really don't want to do it, you know what you do with that project or that piece of paper or returning that phone call? You just kind of move it around your desk all day, and then you have clutter. If you ever went to, I'm really working on this area of just reducing paperwork. If you ever go in Mrs. Furso's office, she only has one folder on her desk ever. And I'm like, how do you do that? How do you just have one piece of paper in front of you? But she really works at it. Reduce your paperwork. One thing I try to do when something comes to my desk, if it has a lot of paperwork, I try to do it right then and get it off my desk. I cannot stand paperwork. I don't want to shuffle it around. When you are shuffling something, you're just wasting time. And if you get too many piles on your desk, then you'll spend 3 or 4 minutes every time your boss asks you for something. Where's that piece of paper? Well, I know it's in my stack here somewhere. I can't find it. I saw that this morning, but I don't know. Maybe I moved it to that pile. You know, so reduce things. Make it simple. Don't read your emails all the time. You know, maybe set aside an hour of your day where you don't answer the phone, that you can be really productive. One thing that I find with answering the phone all the time, because the office that I work in, the phone rings all the time, is I'm getting older, and if I don't complete a task before I move on to the next one, then I forgot that I had that task and where I was. I don't know if you guys have that problem, but I do. We're going to move on to the next thing, which kind of goes along with it. The O stands for organization. Keep your work areas clean. Keep it clean weekly and daily. And like I said, I don't like a lot of paperwork. Brother Furso is the missions director, and I do all the missionary letters. And we have over 200 missionaries. Okay, so which doesn't happen every month, but even say you have 200 missionaries who send you a missions letter every other month. Can you imagine how much paper that is? I mean, I get at least, on the average, I probably get 20 missionary letters a day. Well, what if I just left those on my desk? No, that's a mess. So I'm constantly having to file those, and we do some other stuff with them, but I'm constantly filing them. But this week, my files were just getting too full. I'm like, so I said, Brother Furso, how long do I have to keep a missionary letter? You know, how long do we want to keep that? Like a year? I said, some of these files are getting so big. You need to take time to organize things. So he gave me permission. I only have to keep them if they're older than, or if they're newer than 12 months, I can throw the rest of them away. But when I'm so excited about this, because now I can actually get in my files for the missionaries anyway. But there's other areas that you can clean. Last summer, Brother Furso takes his vacation in August usually, so I made this project. I'm like, I can't stand these files. Mrs. Stoner taught a session, and somebody else, I heard him say it a couple times last year, and it was like, if you cannot find something like in less than a minute, then you're wasting time. You should have a filing system that you can find anything in 5 minutes. And Pastor read the book, or Brother Christensen, and it was called Getting Things Done. If you read that book, it has a great thing about how to file. And so I transformed a lot of my filing last summer, and I was so excited. I was so excited about it. I told Pastor, like, he doesn't really care, you know. He just cares if you're efficient. But I was so excited about getting rid of all the chaos and the clutter. We're going to keep moving. The next letter is D. So we have P, we have preparation. R is reduction. O is organization, and D is discipline. I don't know if you guys ever have these days, but I do. Sometimes I have to just say, Lord, please help me to stay focused. Please help me to stay disciplined in my area of working. You need to be consistent and productive. You know, our pastors don't pay us to just sit there and be on the internet all day. You know, and a lot of times I don't even have time to think about my work. I just have to be productive. But sometimes, like, I am very productive Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday because I have so much on my desk and I can't stand it. And then Thursday at our church, all the pastors are off. So then you go, but what I have to tell myself every Thursday is, Lord, please help me to stay focused, because I really do still have a whole page of list of to-do items and task items. And I am constantly praying, Lord, please help me to stay productive, be focused. If I do that, I can accomplish so much, because like I said, my phone rings a lot, and I don't know if a lot of our church family knows that the pastors are off on Thursday, so our phones don't ring a lot on Thursday, and it's like, yes, praise the Lord, I can actually focus on this task without my phone ringing, and I can get accomplished so many things. The other thing about discipline that you need to do is you need to not procrastinate. I don't know, sometimes I wonder if procrastination is was just given as like a sin to everybody and they have to fight it constantly. My girls are in, I didn't notice this as much in high school, but in college, I think because in high school you have homework every night. How many of you have been to college? Yeah? Okay. So in high school you have homework every night, but in college you have projects, right? So you go to class 3 times a week, 2 times a week, or whatever, but you only have projects due like once a month or once every 6 weeks. So when my girls got in college, it was like we were having like these midnight sessions. And I was like, what is going on? I have a project due tomorrow. I'm like, how long have you known you had the project due? Well, since the semester started and they gave us the syllabus. Why are you doing it tonight? I mean, they would have like these all-nighters and they would be like so stressed, you know, and girls, tears flowing. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Dad, can you help me? It's a Bible project. And, you know, but really procrastination created so much stress in our house on those nights, you know, because my husband, he doesn't really procrastinate about a lot of things. So he, and plus because he teaches Bible college, he just thinks that students that procrastinate are just like terrible. So he has no patience. But procrastination creates stress. And you, as a helper to your pastor, can help him help facilitate things so that procrastination doesn't come in the picture. A lot of things, I work for Pastor Furso, and he is not, like Brother Schmidt is very detailed. His gift is being very detailed. And Brother Christensen is 10 times detailed. But I work, and I used to work for Brother Christensen, but now I work for Brother Furso. Brother Furso is people. He's all about people, and he wants nothing to do with the details. So if I'm not organized and I'm not disciplined and I don't keep asking him questions, then you know what happens to me? I'm the one that's under stress because procrastination has occurred. Does that make sense? What you want to do, procrastination is one of the worst things that you can do. It says, you can't procrastinate or fail to follow through. It is the kiss of death. It is the kiss of death on you. You need to constantly not procrastinate. And if you work for someone who's, they're not a procrastinator, but maybe they're not a detail person, it's your job to help them. Like it's certain areas in my husband's life, he's really disciplined at, but some things he doesn't like to do, so I have to ask him, you know, like, well, he asked me this. I'll share my weakness. It's like, he used to do the checkbook, but now he travels with a college tour group all summer, so he gives me the checkbook. We tried switching back and forth, but then that didn't work. So since he's gone like 3 months out of the year, he just says, you pay the bills. Well, he has to ask me, did you pay the house payment? Did you do this? Because I don't like paying the bills. But, you know, if I neglected to pay my bills, if I procrastinated, that would be the kiss of death on our family. And there's certain things that you do for your pastor that you work for or your team leader that you work for that if you procrastinated, you know, it could be the kiss of death. What if you procrastinated just even telling your team leader that someone called and you thought it wasn't really important because they call all the time, but yet they had a death in their family or they had a family emergency? You cannot procrastinate. We're going to move on to the next letter is you. You need to utilize people. One of the things that I have to work at constantly and tell myself is to utilize people because I always feel weird asking people to help me. I know that that's pride, but it's a blessing for people to be able to help you. And when you have all kinds of people that you know that are in your sphere of influence, don't be afraid to ask them to help you or to delegate to them. We all need help. And you know what? They're going to be a blessing to you. And probably just because you asked them, you're going to give them a blessing too because they're going to think, wow, I'm important because somebody asked me to do something, even though you think it's just a menial task. Oh, I don't want to give that to them. That's just, you know, filing. Who wants to file? I hate to file. But yet if you, say you worked with a teenager and you ask a teenager to come in and help you file, they'd probably be so excited that you even showed them any attention. Use things like that. You can utilize people. You can utilize software programs. I have, utilize different software programs for time management and just helping myself remember and do things like that. I used to use Now Up to Date, which Brother Schmidt got me hooked on, but when I went to work for Brother First about 3 or 4 years ago, it wasn't effective for me. I talked to somebody else about different time management programs and reminding programs that are out there, and some people use Franklin Covey. I just found that for me, and you need to find what's best for you as far as a software program to help you remind you, is Outlook, because I have everything. I can look on Brother First's schedule. I can look at my schedule. I can look at his task, and I can look at my task all in the same area. Before, I was using two different programs, and it didn't work for me. But you need to find out what works for you. You can utilize people and software programs. Some people don't use software at all. Some people just use a Franklin planner or, you know, some written plan. Some people just use a yellow notebook pad. I don't do that. Like, if I have a whole bunch of tasks in one day, I might write it on just a task list, because then you can mark it off. But mostly I have things that I have to remember in advance, and so I constantly use my Outlook, and if it doesn't work that day, I'm in big trouble. The next letter we're going to talk about is C, be committed. Do whatever it takes to get a job done. If Pastor gives me a job, I want to be committed. I want to do whatever it takes to get that job done. Show initiative, even if it's not your job. In our ministry, different areas have different crunch times, and I always want to be known as someone who's willing to help someone else. I don't want to be the secretary that nobody can ever come to, that they're afraid to ask because my attitude is bad. We need to be committed. Are you considered a person that can be counted on? Do people in your office come to you when they're in a crunch time? Do they feel like you're going to say yes? Do you have that positive attitude, and are you committed? We must know the difference between being committed to something and just having an interest in something. If you just have an interest in something, then you're not going to tenaciously try and get it done. But if you're committed to something, committed to being a helper, then you're going to actually produce results. A lot of times I will ask different people or volunteers, you know, some people just, they want to say they want to help. Have you ever asked people to help you, but they're not always counting on? Those people have an interest in helping, but then you have some volunteers that you can ask, and they're there, they're going to stay till it's done. They're going to even stay to help you clean up. I do a lot of meals at the church and serve people. For the leadership conference, one of my responsibilities was to make sure the delegate bags were done. And there's a lady on our staff, and she's not a full-time staff member. And she came to me and she said, you know, you have a lot on your plate. Can I help you get volunteers? And I was like, yes, please. Because like I told you, I have a problem asking for help. But she did all of that for me, and she got me the most wonderful volunteers. And then all I had to do was show up that day, and I had everything ready. And she had asked all my volunteers, and she was a person that I could count on. She was actually committed. She didn't just say, can I help you? She actually made it happen. She got my volunteers. And, I mean, it was just wonderful. It's so wonderful to be a committed person and have people count on you. Can your pastor count on you as a committed person? When he gives you something, does he know that it's going to be done? Pastor and I had a discussion. I want to say it was last week or something like that. And I said, well, when do you want that? And he goes, well, do you think I really want it Saturday? He goes, if I ask for it, I want it now, because otherwise it's like a burden that I'm carrying around until you give me what I asked for. Because what he asked for was like a list of who was doing certain things. And I said, okay, well, when do you want it? And he's like, I want it now. I don't want it Saturday night. I don't want to think about it until Saturday. But until I see something and a plan from you, then it's going to be on my mind. Well, I don't want to be a burden to Pastor. I want to be a blessing. So if Pastor asks me for something, I want to give it to him right when he asks it. I want to be a blessing. I want to show him that I'm committed to relieving his burden. He didn't hire me so that I could be a dead weight on his back all the time. He hired me to relieve his burdens. And that's what I think all of our heart's desire is to do to our pastor. The next letter is T, stands for time management. We talked a little bit about that, but I want to share some other things with you on tenacious and triage. Tenacity, that's how you say it. Tenacity means to grab a hold of and don't let go, to own it. And then We also, with tenacity, need to learn how to triage in any one given week. And I'm sure it's the same with anything that happens in any of your life. You can take it to your personal life or to your work life. You need to become a person that does stuff with tenacity, and then you need to be able to triage. Have you ever gone to the doctor? We have Kaiser at church, and so when we are sick and we don't have a doctor's appointment, then we can go to what's called urgent care. Or if you go to the emergency room, you go to urgent care, and the first person after you fill out all your paperwork that you usually see is a person that's called a triage nurse. And what that nurse's responsibility is to listen to all of your complaints, and then she's listened to every other person in the room, and then she determines who needs to see the doctor most. And as a person who's helping our pastor, we need to constantly triage what is on our task list, what's on our plate, what's on our productivity schedule for that week. We constantly, you know, when pastor said to me, "Joy, do you think I want it Saturday?" You know, because what I was asking him by asking that question, "When do you want it?" is I needed to know where to put that. I needed to know how to triage what he wanted. So when he said, "Do you think I want it Saturday?" "No, I want it today. I want you to relieve my burden today." Basically, I had to readjust what I was working on that day. And I stayed and I worked until I could send him an email and say it's done. Okay? So you constantly have to be willing to triage whatever's on your plate. You know, as a mom, different things happen, you know, with four girls or with children, or even if you don't have children, just in your family constantly, things happen. You know, you have to readjust your schedule. Maybe your car broke. That totally will readjust your schedule if you have car problems. So you're constantly, sometimes we may not think of it like that, but you're constantly triaging. And what you need to do is you need to have the Lord's wisdom when you're triaging. Ask him, you know, "What should I do?" Sometimes this is what I do. I say, "You know what, Brother Furso, I have this. You know, I have my task list laid out, but I know that I can't do all of these today. Which one do you want?" Don't be afraid to go ask your pastor or your team leader or the person that you work for, "What should I do first?" You know, Brother Schmidt is great. When you go to Brother Schmidt and say, "I have this big bag of stuff. What do you want done?" And he's just like, boom, 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 lay it out. You know, and I can do the same thing with Brother Furso, Brother Christensen. We just go to him and say, "I can't get all these done today. What do you want?" And it's so much nicer when you can present your team leader or the person that you work for a list and just say, "You know, help me. What do you want done first?" Maybe, and as you do that and as you work with that person, you're going to learn their heart. You're not going to have to go to them as much. A lot of times, I'll have something that I want to ask pastor, or I think I should run by pastor. But what I try to do is I try to run it by his secretary, Mrs. Furso, first. I always try to run it by her first because I don't want to bother pastor. And I know she knows his heart. She's been his secretary for almost 20 years. She knows the way he thinks. And if she doesn't, she's going to tell me. The same thing, the more that you ask it of your team leader, if you're not sure how to triage, the more they're going to help you to learn how to do that. And like I said again, don't procrastinate. 98% of any job is follow through. You know, just them saying, it's kind of funny. Sometimes it's like pastor will say, "I want this and this," and it takes him like 2 minutes to say what he wants, and you're thinking, your wheels are spinning. Okay, but that's not a 2-minute job. You know, that's going to require this and this and this, and then you break it down. But he's counting on you. Your pastor, your assistant pastor, your team leader is counting on you to follow through. Plan your day and don't let other people plan it for you. If you don't plan anything, then just whatever falls on your desk, that's what you're going to do that day. You need to plan. You need to be productive. The next letter after time management is I for information control. This is just a real simple that I got from reading one book. Learn how to follow the 5 D's of information management. Discard things that you don't need. As soon as you don't need a piece of paper, throw it away, discard it. You can, if you can't discard it, can you delegate it to someone else? Now, the one thing that you don't want to do is just delegate it and not follow through. If you delegate it to somebody and it's important, then you need to make sure that they're doing it. You know, if Brother Christensen or Brother Furso or Mrs. Furso ask me to do something, they, you know, all the time they'll just send me one-line emails. "Please order flowers for such and such a person. Please send a sympathy card to such and such a person. Please make sure this person is here." I don't not reply to those. Because like I said, I feel like that's a burden. If they gave me something, I want to, you know, some people don't like just, I don't like my kids are big. You text them and they'll text you back, K. I'm like, okay, please don't text me K. You know, like for okay. But I always try, if somebody asks me to do something simple, I want them to know that it's done. You know, please go visit so-and-so at the hospital. I will send them back. So-and-so went to the hospital. So I ordered flowers. I sent a card. I had so-and-so go visit so-and-so. I want them to know that when they give me something, I don't want them to hear dead silence from me and wonder, did she ever do that? I don't know if she ever did that. I don't want the burden to be on them to ask me. So I always try to respond to that. If you can't discard it or delegate it, then you need to do it yourself, or maybe you need to post-date it, or time-activate it is a better word, although it doesn't go with the 5 D's. You just date it in advance. That's why I love Outlook. I can put it in my Outlook for a couple days, and then I don't have to think about it. Okay, or you can file it in your drawer. Now remember, when you file, you want to be able to find it within 1 minute. So then let's move on to the next letter, is V. You need to be versatile. Be flexible, be willing to change. Realize that you're always not right. One of the things that our pastor says all the time is a growing church is always in transition. I have been on staff here for over 7 years, and if I can say anything is you always have to be in transition. I have worked for Brother Schmidt. Well, when I first came, I worked for Brother Furso for a couple months. Then Pastor said, no, I want you to work for Brother Schmidt. So then I worked for Brother Schmidt. Then Brother Schmidt was transitioning, or Brother Christensen was taking over all the secretaries. So then I started working for Brother Christensen, and I worked for Brother Christensen for 3 or 4 years. And then Pastor came to me and said, I've really been praying. Brother Furso needs a new secretary. I want you to be a secretary. And I was like, oh. So, you know, you have to, and I just was like, I don't think I can do that, you know, but that was my human fleshly nature. But then I thought, well, if my pastor asked me to do it, then my pastor has way much more wisdom than I do. And if he feels like God wants me to do that, then I'm going to do that. And so I have always been willing to do whatever my pastor asked me to do, or my boss asked me to do, or my supervisor asked me to do. I don't think, oh, I can only ever do this, or I can only ever work for this person. I want to be the kind of person that's willing and flexible and change. If Pastor came to me tomorrow and said, I don't want you to work for the church anymore, I want you to work for the college, I would say, if that's where you think I can be used best at, that's where I'll work. If he says to me, I want you to go to work at the Christian school, okay, I'll go to work at the Christian school. Be flexible. Sometimes when transition comes our way, there's 3 steps. Sometimes people at first reject it, which was my first thought when Pastor said to me, I want you to be Brother First Social Secretary. I was like, no. In my mind, I said, no. And then I was like, okay, the second step is tolerance, and then the last step is always acceptance. But I want to be willing. I want to be willing to be flexible. I want to be used. And I think that our pastor knows what our gifts are and what our talents are and where we can be used best. So you need to be versatile. So let's just review real quick. We've had P for preparation, R for reduction, O for organization, D for discipline, U for utilize people or software programs or any other kind of tool, C is committed, be committed, T is time management, I is information control, V is versatile, and then E is enabler. Be an enabler, okay? Be someone that can make things happen. That's what I want to be known as. I don't want to be known as someone that if they give something to, nothing's going to happen. I want to be an enabler. I want to make things happen. Like I want to anticipate. Like I said, I look ahead the whole week before and I say, okay, Brother Furso, you have this and this and this. You have these appointments. What do you need for these appointments? Because sometimes it's counseling. Sometimes it's a soul winning call. Sometimes it might be marriage counseling and he wants to give them a book. I want to be prepared. I feel like that in my role, it's to be a blessing to him and to pastor. So I want to say, what do you want for that? like we have missions conference coming up. That's my next big event. And I'm already thinking, okay, what does Pastor want? What does he want to do for these missionaries special this year? You know, he's already shared some visions with the church. I want to have 25 new missionaries. So I'm already thinking, how can I help Pastor make this happen? What can I do to be a blessing? Anticipate. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Sometimes people are real hesitant about asking questions, but I find that questions clarify. Pastor will have a vision, and sometimes he'll say the vision, but it's not all of it because it's still in his mind. It's just like, this is just an example as a mom for my children. I'll say to my children, clean the kitchen. I don't know if you guys ever do this just to yourself or maybe to a sibling or something like that. I'll say, clean the kitchen. Well, when I say clean the kitchen, that means do the dishes, put the dishes away, sweep the floor, do this, do, you know, it includes, you know, it encompasses like 10 things. But sometimes when my children are younger, they're much better now. But when my children are younger, when I would say clean the kitchen, they thought all it meant to do was put the dishes in the dishwasher, you know, and then it was clean. And then you go back in there. Well, you don't want to be like that to your boss. So if your boss says, or if pastor says, I want to have this event, don't be afraid to ask questions, because in his mind, God has given him that vision and he's already focused and he truly already has a picture of what he expects that event to be, that special Sunday to be, how he already knows it. And sometimes they don't communicate it, but don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, if my kids would have come back to me and said, well, Mom, you said clean the kitchen, but does that mean you want the floor swept? You know, then I would have said, of course I want the floor swept, and of course I want the trash taken out. Don't be afraid to ask. That's how you're also going to learn your pastor's heart or your team leader's heart. Ask questions, be an enabler. Your job is to make your pastor's job easy. Your job is to lift his burdens. So I hope with some of these letters and words that I've given you with the word productive that it's been a blessing and an encouragement. I'm in no way the perfect secretary. I am still constantly learning. I love to learn. I love to learn new ideas. I love to learn new jobs. And I'm constantly asking the Lord to help me, because I think when we try to do stuff on our own, without God's enabling and without God's helping, then all we're doing is we're just being like a robot. Anybody can be a robot. And Pastor said the other day, you know, when we work, but when we pray, God works. And I've been in several positions so many times where it's just that I just feel overwhelmed by the job that I've been given, and I just say, Lord, I don't know how to make it happen. I have done everything in my power. Lord, please help me to make it happen. And I'm telling you, the Lord has not failed me one time. Every time I just look back and I go, thank you, Lord, that was wonderful. I don't know how you did it, but that was great. You know, because everything that I felt like that I was trying to create or to make happen on my own, I felt like I was failing. But when I prayed about it and asked the Lord to give me a vision to help me, that I just couldn't do it. It was just, I can't even describe to you the jobs that I've been given and just how wonderful God has made it. And then you can say, you know, when people say stuff, you say, God is good, because he is so good and he takes care of us. And he does it way and above and beyond more than we could ever do it. So if I can be a blessing to you guys in any way, I'd love to. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me. Otherwise, I'm done. Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't share that. It's called On Time, On Target Manager. And I'm going to tell you, this is like one of the easiest reads ever. I love to read, you know. So I think I probably read this book like in 2 hours. It was just like, it's like when Brother Schmidt writes a book, I can sit down and read it really fast. I don't know if it's the way he writes, like I think, or you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you get a book and it's just real easy. And, you know, Pastor hasn't always given me easy read books, but this one was, and it's pretty simple. It's written by Kid and Blanchard, but, you know, it's not tiny print.
Is that in the bookstore?
I don't know if it's in our bookstore, but you can get it. Most of the time when we get books like this, we just order them from Amazon.com because it's just so much cheaper. usually. But, and it's, it, this is a, I was just like, wow, this, it just breaks it down. It's so simple. Another book that I read last year was Getting It Done. And I think that one might be in the bookstore. I'm not sure. But there's lots of books out there, you know, like that. If you were looking for some other ones, Mrs. Stoner has other, she's the office manager. She has lots of different books that we've read throughout the years. So.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.